Okay, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
And if any ladies are listening. So we started last week to discuss the sugya, the topic of whether one is allowed to take the law into his own hands. And we saw that everyone agrees that in a case of financial loss, in Pemakim Hefsid, then one is allowed to take the law into his own hands. That we saw from the discussion between Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda, that if two people share a water cistern and they take it in turns of taking, one day one takes, another day another takes, and then all of a sudden one day one of them comes along on not his day, and the guy who it was his day says, "Hey, what are you doing? Drawing water on my day." And he ignores him. And he says, "Please stop drawing." And he still ignores him. And then he takes a spade and clonks him over the head with a spade. And that question was posed to Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman says he could have hit him 100 times. He is allowed to take the law into his own hands, because this is a case of financial loss. What's the financial loss? The financial loss is either that what's going to happen is the guy is going to draw all of the water. By the time he goes to Beis Din, he's going to draw all of the water. He's not going to have any water for his own crops left, and his crops are going to die. Or another suggestion of Rashi is that while he goes to Beis Din, he's not going to be able to prove now how much water he took. The guy's going to say, "What do you mean? I only took 2 barrels of water," because he wasn't in the picture. He was away at Beis Din. So there will be, and the rule is that you have to bring a proof if you're trying to claim money from your friend. Therefore, this is a case of financial loss, and the halacha is that one is allowed to take the law into his own hands. Where is there a machlokes? There is a machlokes, there is a dispute by a situation where there is no financial loss. Is one allowed to take the law into his own hands in a case of no financial loss? So there we have the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, whereby, and we can look, let's look inside. So I should have the same open, right? Okay, so ten lines up from the bottom. Two words from the end of the line. Hecha de ika, pseida. You got it?
Yeah.
So hecha de ika, pseida. In a case where there is financial loss, kule amalei pligi, everyone agrees, the Ovid in Ishtan and Afshe, that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. Kule alma. Kule alma means the whole world agrees. Kule alma, everyone agrees that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. Ki pligi, where do they have a machlokes? Hecha de lekab seda, when there is no financial loss. Rav Yehuda Omar loy ovid inishtin l'nafshe. Rav Yehuda says you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands. Why? De kevon de lekab seda, seeing as there's no financial loss if you would go to the court, if you go to Beis Din. Lezul kamedayna. Go to the Beis Din. Go to court. Let the court meet out the punishment and take care of your case for you. Take care of the din for you. Rav Nachman, however, disagrees, and he says, "Rav Nachman, Omar, Ovid Inishtin L'Nafshe, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. How? Why? The cave under the din of it, since he is going according to the letter of the law, he's doing it justifiably, provable in Beis Din. Then Loitarch." We didn't bother him with the tircha, with the effort of having to go to Beis Din, because what's going to happen? He's going to go to Beis Din, and Beis Din are going to go and do the same thing as he was doing. So we didn't bother him with the effort of having to go and do it for himself. Therefore, he's allowed to take the law into his own hands. Adkan. That's how far we got last week. Let's go a little bit further and see if we can try to decide this case. Right? We have this machlokes. We have to decide what's the halacha. So first, we're going to see Massive, Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is going to bring an attack on one of these two opinions. Okay, I'm going to read out the case and I'm going to ask you, who is this attack? Who is it attacking? Which opinion is it attacking? Ben Bagbag Omer. Ben Bagbag says, Al tikanes lechatze chavercha litoil es shelcha. Do not enter into the chatzer, the courtyard of your friend, to take what is yours, shaloi berishus, without permission. Okay, you're not allowed to go into your friend's courtyard, into your friend's house, to take back what is rightfully yours, without his permission. Okay, this is a bit of a cliffhanger. Sounds like what it's saying. Let's see. Why are you not allowed to go in without rishus? Shematira olav kaganav. Maybe you will appear to him like a ganav, like a thief. Ella, rather, what should you do? Shavar eshinav. Break his teeth. Va'amar loy. And say to him, Shali ani noitel. I'm taking what is rightfully mine. Okay, a little bit of a switch there in Ben Bagbag's words. It sounded like originally what he was saying was, you're not allowed to break into your house to take back what is rightfully yours. But he says, no. Only reason is because you'll appear like a ganav. If you appear like a ganav, you're going to be in trouble, right? He's going to put you in trouble. You're at risk over there. Rather, what are you allowed to do? You're allowed to break his teeth. If he stops you, if you knock on your door and say, hello, mister, you've taken my item. I would like to take it back. And he says, no. You say, I'm going to have to take it by force then. He says, fine, you're allowed to punch his teeth. And grab your item and say, this is my object I'm taking.
But meanwhile, you've done him damage.
Oh, you've done him damage! Exactly. Ovid Inish Dinan Nafshe. Yeah, Dan.
I was going to say, wouldn't this also serve him better to be done in public? Because if he did this in private, broke his teeth in private, and then took the thing, he could still be looked on as a ganav. If he did it in front of people and witnesses, I think it would be a different story.
So we mentioned last week that when we say that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, it is only when it's according to the law,
yeah.
when it's al pi din, when it's according to how a beis din would rule, meaning that you would have appropriate witnesses, you would have appropriate proof, evidence that this item belongs to you. If you take the law into your own hands, and then the guy brings you to Beis Din, because he's going to say, hey, this guy punched me and knocked my teeth out. He knocked my teeth out. I am going to claim damages from him. So then we'd go to Beis Din. And if Beis Din proves, if you're able to then prove that you did it according to the law, you're off the hook. You are off the hook for all the damages that you caused, the injury that you caused to this guy. Because you're allowed to take the law into your own hands.
But how is that different if you go in, you steal something, he brings you to court saying he stole something from you, and you said, no, I proved it's mine in the first place.
What do you mean?
I'm saying on the seifa, he could also look like a ganav. He goes into his house, there's nobody else around, he punches him in the mouth.
No. The only problem of Shema Tiralov Kaganov, of appearing like a ganav, is the owner of the house. If you tunnel into the house, which is a sugya we might be learning next in Sanhedrin of Habama Machteres, tunneling into someone's house. If you tunnel into someone's house, you break into his house. He's allowed to kill you. We don't want to put you at you don't want to put yourself at risk.
Okay.
So we're saying don't do it without rishus, right? Because maybe he's going to kill you because he's going to think you're a ganav.
Okay.
Yeah, rather. What do you do? So I've got to wait outside then, because otherwise, I'm going to be coming face to face with him and he's not going to let me. No! You're allowed to punch him! That's the halacha. That is what we're trying to say over here. You don't need to put yourself at risk because you're allowed to punch him.
But if you're a thief, you're allowed to kill him.
Sorry?
If you're a thief, somebody is allowed to kill him.
Yeah.
But if somebody hit you, I can hit also. What is different? If somebody threat me to my life, I can hit also. This can be.
If you feel that he's a threat to your life,
it means
it's
kind of fighting.
If you feel he's a threat to your life,
but
then
this
yes.
Is a normal.
If in this situation where you punch him in the face and you say I'm trying to take back my item, if he would punch you back,
uh-huh.
He would be obligated for damages.
But you're not obligated
because he's not taking any law into his own hands.
But
he's not protecting himself. He is the one that's putting himself at risk by saying, no, I'm not going to give you a thing back.
I should stay until to have another hit?
If he would say, I'm still not going to let you in, you can punch him again. And this is what Rav Nachman means. When Rav Nachman says, you're allowed to punch him 100 times, it doesn't mean you're allowed to just clunk him over the head until he's lying there motionless, dead, on the floor. No, it means that if he says, no, I'm still not going to stop, bang, I'm still not going to stop, bang. As much as it takes, you're allowed to do. Because that is how much the Beis Din would do in order to carry out this din. Okay? So again, who is this a proof for?
I'd hate to have to rely on this. But keep going.
This is the halacha. So Ben Bagbag says you're not allowed to go in unannounced. Rather, punch him in the face.
It's proof for Rav Nachman.
This is exactly a proof for Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman says you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, even in a case with no financial loss. Seemingly over here, we have a test tube laboratory case that without any extra details, we see that your item is over there. It doesn't look like there's any financial loss that's happening. No financial loss. Your item is just sitting there, right? So there is a case of no financial loss, and we say you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. Okay, so this is seemingly a proof for Rav Nachman that you are allowed to take the law into your own hands, even in a case of no financial loss. Now, what is Rav Yehuda going to do about this? Right, this is a bit of a problem for Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda says you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands. So how is he going to work out Ben Bagbag? Right, Ben Bagbag says you're allowed to knock his teeth out. Oh, so how does he deal with this? Omar Lee. So he said back to him, Rav Yehuda said back to this Rav Kahana asked the question. He said back to him, Imcha. Imcha, which either means, Rashi gives two explanations. Either it means, Imcha, you've really got something to say over here, or it means, Imcha, take it, it's not going to be a question on me anyway. So, but either way, what it's saying is, he's rejecting the question. Ben Bagbag Yechidahu, Upligi Rabbonin Alei. Ben Bagbag is a minority opinion. He's an individual opinion. He's what's called a Das Yachid, an individual opinion over here. He's an individual opinion, and Rabbonin disagree with him. They argue with him. So, all very granted, Ben Bagbag may say you're allowed to go along and punch his teeth out. Rabbonin disagree with him. Ben Bagbag, he's just a yachid, an individual. So that's not going to be a question, not going to be an attack to me. That is how, that's one answer to this question. Let's see one more answer. Rabbi Yanai Omar, Rabbi Yanai gives another answer. My shavar is shinov. What does it mean, knock his teeth out? It doesn't mean literally knock his teeth out. Knock his teeth out bedin, in din, in the court, in justice. Right? How do you knock your teeth out in justice? Right? Just like by the Haggadah, right? The evil son, the wicked son, asks the question, "Huh, what does this stuff have to do with you?" Yeah, what do you do? Knock his teeth out. Yeah, hakeh shinov, break his teeth. And answered him that if you were there, you wouldn't have been redeemed from its rhyme. Doesn't mean literally you knock his teeth out. It means you give him a sharp comment, a sharp thing. So this is how you sharply knock him down. You sharply knock him down, bedin, in the court, in justice. But
they actually use this in Hebrew and slang.
What?
Oh, you should know this. Like if you're speaking to someone in Hebrew, but you have an accent, they say, don't break your teeth. Uh-huh. Like, don't stumble on your words. So I guess maybe breaking your teeth would also be relatively the same thing here.
Right, right. Yeah, it's.
What you call it, the shinaim. Someone going in front of the judge, going, but, you know.
Right. So, ihachi. Yeah. Ihachi. But now we've got a bit of a problem with this, because let's analyze these words over here. Ben Bagbag says, you're not allowed to go into your friend's courtyard to take your thing without permission. Rather, go to him and say, break his teeth, right? Mm-hmm. Ella, rather, break his teeth, right? We're telling, who are we telling over here? Telling you what you should do, right? Ella, shavresh, you know, break his teeth, the omer loy, and say to him, you should say to him, shali ani naito, I'm taking my item back.
In other words, you're doing it publicly as opposed to sneaking in.
Right. But we're analyzing the wording over here. Does it sound like he's at a court over here?
Nope.
Does it sound like we're saying what the court says?
Nope.
Sounds like what he's saying over here, right? So he asks the question. He says, "Ihachi, if this is so, if we're talking about that you're at court over here, va'amar loy." And you should say to him, I'm taking my thing. But I remember like me, boy. It should say, and they say to him, right? It shouldn't say, and you should say to this guy, you're in court over here. Who are the people speaking in court? The Beis Din, in plural. So they should say to him, but I'm Rimlai, they should say to him, yeah? And over here, another problem. Shali ani noitel? Mine I'm taking, Shalai hu noitel. He is taking his thing. Because there's the court, in plural, who are saying to this guy, he let him take his thing back. So if we're saying, if Ben Bagbag says, break his teeth, and you should say to him, I'm taking my thing, it doesn't sound like we're talking about a third person court who are telling the owner of the ganav, the thief, to give the property back. Sounds like the owner of the property is taking it back for himself. So it doesn't sound, it's very, very obscure in the words, very, very, very difficult to squeeze the din interpretation, the court interpretation of Rav Yanai as an answer to a question on Ben Bagbag, of Ben Bagbag. Okay? And the Gemara answers, Kasha. Kasha. This is a difficulty. A difficulty with that explanation. Let's see, so what do we have over here? We saw an attack on Rav Nachman. Okay, Rav Nachman says you're allowed to take the law, an attack on Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands. We say you can break his teeth. So we said, maybe it's because he's an individual opinion, it's not necessarily a question. Okay. And so our second explanation was, well, it doesn't really mean break his teeth, it means take him to court, but it's a bit of a squeeze to do that. Okay, so that we had a failed attempt of sort of proving either way. It sounded like we had an attack on Rav Yehuda, but we were able to get out of it. Now one more. Let's see another proof over here. Toshma, come in here on the fifth line down. Shor sha'ala al gabei chaveiro, an ox which climbed onto its friend. Lahargoi, in order to kill it. Okay, these oxen were having a fight, and one of them climbed on to the other one, wanted to kill it. Ubo bala tachtoin, and then the owner of the shore at the bottom saw what was going on. He saw that his ox was in danger, was about to be hurt by his friend's ox. Veshamat eschalai, and so he freed his ox from underneath. V'nofel elyoin umes, and then the top ox fell and died. Potter, he is exempt. He is exempt in this case. Now, what did he do? He took the law into his own hands, and he was allowed to. Okay, so but now we have to question. Remember, if we're talking about a case of financial loss, there's not going to be a question. Right? Everyone agrees. With financial loss, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. So what's the question of it? So we need a bit of background information. The background information is that when an ox gores another animal, the owner of the ox that gored has to pay half the value. Has to pay what's called chetzi nezek. Chetzi nezek means he pays half of the value of the damage that he caused. Why? Because this is my property, right? When we said, when you go ahead and damage someone and injure someone, there you have to pay full you have to pay full damages because you're responsible for, you're liable for everything. But my property, I couldn't have expected that my ox is going to go ahead and damage, right? It's just a regular ox over here. I only have to pay half damages. There's absolutely some liability and some accountability for your property, but only chetzi nezek. If the same ox would go ahead and gore again, chetzi nezek. Again, you only have to pay half damages. If the ox would go ahead and gore a third time, then we're going to bring that ox to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din would give a din, a title on that ox of a shor muad. A shor muad means a warned ox, as opposed to before it was called a shor tam, a regular shor, a simple shor. Now he is a shor muad. He is a warned ox. This warned ox is, why? What does it mean that he's warned? It means that he is very liable to cause damages. Right? If you take this Ashor Hamuad out in the public domain, he's damaging the whole time. That we cannot no longer say that this guy couldn't have expected his ox to cause damages. He very much should have expected, because there's a chazaka, a strong presumption that this ox goes ahead and damages. Therefore, if it's a shor hamuad, you have to pay full damages. Yeah, no longer are you going to get off with only chetz in ezek, with half damages. For a shor hamuad, that's full damages. Okay, full damages means that if I'm walking along and my ox, which is worn, goes out and gores, I have to pay full damages. So, in our case over here, if the ox which climbed on top, which I pulled away and died and killed, if that ox was tam, yeah, was a simple ox, yeah,
first time,
a first time, second time, or third time injurer, gorer, yeah, if it was like that, then what's going to happen, right? This ox would go ahead and kill my ox, and I go and take him to court. What do I get?
Yeah,
I only get half. If he would be a shor hamuad, yeah, and I take him to court, what do I get back?
You get all.
I get everything back. Yeah. Okay, clear?
Not here.
Sorry.
If one. If I lost my ox,
we're not talking about getting lost.
But this is what killed. You said, it's killed.
My ox was killed. So what do I get back? What damages do I get? What value do I get? So if the shor which killed my ox was a muad, the owner of the ox has to pay me back the full amount. Nezek shalim, full damages.
You get to keep half your ox.
Sorry?
You get to keep half of your ox, though. So you get half damages and half your ox. No, I was thinking time. Time you get half your ox and half the damages.
Uh-huh. Okay. I don't remember how the ox gets divided up.
Yeah.
But the damages, you're going to be getting a loss there. If the shor would be moored and he would kill my ox, then I get full damages. Yeah, I'm going to get all of the value of my ox back. Okay? Now, remember, what's our question over here? I have this situation which is transpiring right in front of my eyes, that an ox has climbed on top of my ox and he has ill intent. He's going to be killing my ox. So what do I do? What would we say you should do? Go to Beis Din. Let Beis Din go ahead and deal with it. If you pull your ox out, it's going to kill the one on top. Right? Or it's likely that it's going to kill the one on top. So rather go to Beis Din. Well, what happens? If I'm going to go to Beis Din, in the meantime, the ox is for sure going to kill my ox. So if we're talking about a shor which was muad, there's no financial loss. If we're talking about a shor which is tam, there's for sure financial loss. If we're talking about its tam, a regular simple ox, right, there's for sure financial loss. There, everyone would say, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. Right? So we have to understand, what are we talking about over here? Because if we're talking about a case of a shor tam, a simple shor, then for sure you're allowed to do it. That's not an attack, it's not a proof to anyone. Okay? Rather, in order to bring any proof, we must be talking about a shor hamuad. If it's a shor hamuad, there's no financial loss, because if he kills my ox, I get full damages anyway. So if we say that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, we're saying when there's no financial loss, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, which would be an attack, again, on Rav Yehuda. Because Rav Yehuda says you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands in a case of financial loss. Okay? So this is our attack. This is our question. The question is, Toshma, Shor Sha'ola al Gabe Chaveira Lahorgo. An ox which climbed on its friend to kill him, and then the owner of the low one saw what was going on, and he took his ox out, and then the top one fell and died. Potter, he is exempt. Now, what is the case? Is it a case of muad? Is it a case of tam? My love, muad. The Gemara suggests, is it that we're talking about muad? Because if we're talking about a shor muad, then there's no financial loss. Right? Because you're going to get back the full value anyway. Yeah, he has to pay you full damages. So if we're talking about a shor muad, then this shows me that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands even when there's no financial loss, just like Rav Nachman. So this is going to be a proof to Rav Nachman, an attack on Rav Yehuda. Yeah, my love, b'muad, deleka pseda. Are we talking about a case of muad where there's no damages? And with no damages, that's where we have the machlokas of Rav Nachman, Rav Yehuda. Okay? That is the attack at this point. And the Gemara answers, like, no. Where do you see? How can you prove to me that it was a muad? Just says a shor. Just says an ox. Any ox. Right? Any ox. It doesn't specifically have to be muad. It could even be tam. Like, but tam. We're talking about a case where it's a tam, a regular ox, de ikup seda, where there is a financial loss, and therefore, for sure, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. Everyone agrees you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. Okay, so it's not an attack or a proof to anyone, because we're talking about a case of financial loss where everyone agrees that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. Yeah.
How is, in real-time situation, how is someone able to judge if this particular shor is a moed or not? I think, like, it could be a sefek. You don't know. You see a bull. Who's a?
I'm not sure. I mean, maybe there would be some sort of simon, a sign that they make on a shor muad. I'm not sure.
I mean, they could put like a scarf around him.
There's also known
lots of things. Thinking more about the scarf being ripped off. So.
These are small communities. Everybody knows.
Yeah, I think there is such a thing that people recognize. People know each other's
also
animals.
I'm not sure. Didn't Rabbi Papa have something like? Tens of thousands of bulls.
We're talking about a case where that's an external factor. We always speak in a laboratory.
I understand. A laboratory is hypothetical. Right. I'm saying in a real time situation, you could see a bull. You might even think that I recognize this bull. He's a moed. So I'm going to get all my financial. And then afterwards, you see that it's not the same bull. You know, and you could. I mean, it could be that they're talking about this effect. They just, that's what they said. They say, it just says sure.
So you mean that according to Rav Yehuda, you'd be in trouble?
No, I'm saying that wrong, even Rav Yehuda would agree. Even Rav Yehuda would say, this might be a financial loss.
In a case of suffix. Because there's a suffix financial loss.
I would even go back and say the whole thing about going to someone's house, that could be a case of suffix too, because if you don't get it back, you would have a financial loss in the end. That would also be like a suffix. How do you know that that person, he's already disagreeing to give you something? There's a reason why you're going to that person.
So in the theory of the, but that's what ifs. We don't do...
Why are we saying there's a financial loss with the town? We still haven't resolved that. I thought the halacha is that it comes out even, that you get half the value monetarily, and you get half the animal, and he gets
the
other.
Value of a live animal is much, much more than the value of a dead animal.
You get half the Don't you get half the value of the live
meat.
Animal,
yeah.
And you get the meat, half the meat. From
yeah, but that's not the if you do, I don't remember what happens with the meat
so
of this animal.
Like it came out even.
A dead carcass is much less valuable than
a lot of inconvenience because right.
Also, you got to remember, we're not talking about a shechted animal, so you got to sell it to goyim for cheap.
You got to move it.
But in case of ox, what practice should I do?
So over here we're saying that you're allowed to take your animal out from underneath.
You allow what to do?
You're allowed to take your animal out from underneath in order to save your animal, even if what that means is that the top one is gonna fall down and die.
To save your animal.
To save your animal, you're allowed to take your animal out.
No, but this is not law. Anybody wants to take... It's not allowed
even
to...
Even though it's very likely that the top animal is going to die.
But if you take... why? Mm-hmm. If you want to save your animal. It means you can save your animal even...
Okay, so let's say someone left their precious vase, a mink vase again, yeah? And they left it on top of my book. And it's a very, very, very heavy vase. I can't lift the vase up and take it off. So I'm allowed to just take my book out from underneath?
Okay.
No, you hit the vase with a shovel until it gets out.
I feel you may have put them in.
No, but the case was...
39 times.
In case
40 minus 1.
I believe it's allowed to make damage to ox trying to save your ox.
That's the point.
This is the source. No, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. Otherwise, we would say, get the court to do it. Right, who are you to take the law into your own hands, start damaging other people's property to save your thing?
It's the same as punching.
How can you stop the whole process and take it to court while something is happening?
It's also the point.
That's what we're saying. Take it to court and then they'll pick up the pieces. They'll pick up the pieces afterwards.
The result.
Right now, there's no dead ox. My ox isn't dead. Right, when I go to court, my ox is going to be dead by the time they deal with it. Right, so what do I do? Do I let them kill my ox, or am I allowed to and claim the damages, or am I allowed to take care of it now? So he said, you're allowed to take care of it now. You're allowed to take the law into your own hands. Now we want to discuss, what does it mean? Is there a financial loss, or is there not a financial loss? That's the difference, whether it's mu'ad or tam. So we wanted to suggest that maybe there's no financial loss, and therefore this is a proof to Rav Nachman. We said, no. How do you know it's a case of without financial loss? Maybe there is financial loss. Maybe it was a tam. And that while you go to Beis Din, you're only going to be able to claim half the value of your ox because he's only obligated to pay half the value. But if I would say that, I would get my whole ox, the whole value of my ox. So there would be financial loss. And that's why we say you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, perhaps. Right? So this is an answer to the question.
But this is when talk about ox. It's important. There is the same kind of animal, or for example, ox.
Sometimes, no. Yeah.
If you ox kill my cat or chicken, this is. I also can do something to protect.
It could make a difference.
To protest.
It could make a difference.
Because this is kind of an unusual situation. Ox kill another ox. This is never.
Because you're making it equal. You're eliminating a variable.
This is. Remember, we're talking about a laboratory. And remember, also, whenever we are discussing Torah Shebal Peh, yeah, Torah Shebal Peh meaning the oral Torah. The oral Torah is all a big analogy. Right? Everything is an analogy, but it's an analogous depiction of a rule, right? One of the main reasons why the Torah Shebal Peh wasn't written down was because it's all rules. As soon as you write a rule down, you can't write a theoretical rule. You have to give an example of the rule and how the rule plays out. So what was the problem of writing down the oral Torah was that you have to give examples. An example is a very, very specific case. A specific case which is understandable to those who understand the case, understand the times, understand the situation, understand what, you know, how many cows are there? Do people have 10,000s, or does everyone recognize the cows? Or right, we you would understand, right, in the times of Chazal. But you go a few generations later, now a few thousand years, a couple of thousand years later, we don't understand what it was like. So what we have to do now, in order to understand the oral Torah, is we have to reverse engineer it. We have to take our rule, and we have to reverse engineer, and we have to take our example, the analogy, you know, which is an ox which gores another ox, or climbs on the top of the thing, and we have to reverse engineer to understand what's the rule. What's the rule behind this? So then we have to analyze what is an ox, and how does an ox damage, and what is a pit, and how does a pit damage, and what is a... That's a problem. It is a big problem. So you're right, yeah, to ask the question of what is an ox, and what is a thing, and what if it was a chicken. We have to understand. You have to understand very, very clearly the factors involved, and but not take them too specifically and literally at the same time, they have to be taken literally in order to get the rule back. So it's a problem. So we have to try to understand the rule. So that's what we're trying to do over here. Okay, so we've got this. So we got this case, and which was we thought was going to be an attack, and we saw at the end that this is not an attack because we're talking about a simple ox, where there is a financial loss, and therefore that's why you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. So if so, says the Gemara, we've got a problem. If we're talking about a tam, right, a simple ox, e hachi, ema seifa. I will say e is the last word of the line, eight lines down, nine lines. E hachi, if so, ema seifa. I'll say the end of this very same brisa. Right, the beginning says, if your ox climbed on top of one ox and then you pulled it out from underneath it, then you're potter, you're exempt. Aim a safer. Now I'll say the end. What was the end? Dachvei le'enyon, le'elyoin umes. If you pushed the top one, and, right, in order to save your ox, you didn't pull your ox out. Instead, you pushed the top one off.
You're attacking the one on top.
I'm saving my bottom one.
Yeah.
Right, I'm saving my bottom one. But instead of pulling my one out, I pushed the top one, umes, and it died, chayev. That you are obligated. The person who pushed the ox is chayev, is obligated. Is obligated for the damage that he caused. The ibatam, and if we're talking about a tam, a regular ox, which there's no guarantee that he's actually going to be killing my ox at all, am I chayev? Why would you be chayev? Why would you be... why would you be obligated? Yeah, why would you be obligated? You are just trying to save your... If it's a tam, remember, if it's a tam, there is financial loss. We're talking about a case of financial loss, because I'm only going to get back the half damages. If there's financial loss, I'm allowed to take the law into my own hands. Why am I not allowed to push him off the top? Following?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah? The first case says you're allowed to pull him out from underneath, but you're not allowed to push him on top. Why aren't you allowed to push him off the top? If it's financial loss, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. That means pulling him out or pushing him on top, right? No difference. No, so answer the Gemara, there is a difference. Shahaya loyla shamtai. No, there is a very distinctive difference. What's the distinctive difference? If you pull your ox out, yeah, from underneath. Well, let's go back to the vase and the book. Yeah? what is more likely to cause damage of this vase? If I would push the vase off the top of my book, yeah, that's very, very likely to cause damage. If I would gently pull my book out from underneath it, that's much less likely to cause damage. It very, very well could cause damage. It could. But it's much less likely to cause damage if you pull something out than if you push it off on top. Therefore, in this case, the reason why you're chayev is because you should have taken your ox out as opposed to push the top one off, and you didn't.
It means it's allowed to touch your ox, but not touch.
It's not a case of you're not allowed to touch, because if that's the only way that you would be able to do it, you're allowed to touch it. But the problem is that the issue is over here, you've got two options in front of you. You have two ways of saving your ox. One is definitely going to is much more likely to cause damage than the other. You're obligated to cause the least damage possible. Right? This is another important rule when we're talking about we spoke about a few rules of taking the law into your own hands, and I think we appeased you somewhat, yeah, with the matter of taking the law into your own hands. One is it has to be 100% provable in Beis Din, because if the guy comes along and says, "Hey, you punched me in the teeth, you knocked my teeth out," right, and he takes you to court, right, if you don't have evidence that stands up in court, then you've got to pay him. So we're only talking about right here and right now. You're allowed to go and do it, but it has to be you're 100% right, 100% provable in court. Secondly, you have to be minimizing the damage, as minimal damage as possible. Right? The proof for that is over here. The source for that is this case here. If you would push the top one, that's more likely to cause damage. That you're chayev. You have to pay. If you would punch out two teeth, yeah, by giving him a right hook, when you could have got away with, you know, giving him a left hook and only punched out one tooth, yeah, then, if that is a significant difference, yeah, then you'd be obligated for the difference. I don't know. You'd be obligated somewhat. You'd be obligated for the damage caused, because you did more than you had to do, right? So here we see another rule, important rule of taking the law into your own hands. It has to be limited, right? As the minimal amount of damage caused. Okay, but again, what do we see from here? We don't see a proof either way. We don't see a proof either way. We wanted to suggest maybe there's no financial loss, and we see you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. We said, no, maybe we're talking about a case of financial loss. Right, so again, also we had the first case. You're allowed to go into his courtyard and knock his teeth out and take your thing. Is that a proof? He said, no, either... because we said Ben Bagbag is in an individual opinion and Rabbonin disagree with him, therefore that's not the halacha, or because we're not saying break his teeth out, we're saying take him to court, right? So we don't have proofs either way. So what is the halacha? I will say that the Gemara goes ahead and another few times until it gets to the Mishnah down the bottom of this page here. There's a few attacks, a few attempts to prove that the halacha is either way. Most of the attempts to prove the halacha is either way is an attempt to prove that the halacha is like Rav Nachman, that you are allowed to take the law into your own hands, and therefore not like Rav Yehuda, who says you're not allowed to. And then the answers that are given up are offered up by Rav Yehuda to defend that opinion, that no, you're not really allowed to take the law into your own hands, but over here it's a bit different. So what is the halacha? So, the Gemara itself doesn't say. Yeah, the Gemara itself doesn't say that there's no final proof. Yeah, that the halacha is like Rav Nachman, like Rav Yehuda. Usually, when it comes to the end of a discussion, when you have a machlokes, usually one of them is, you know, there's a question which is, you know, a knockout question, right? TKO, yeah, total knockout. That there's no answer to that question. Or, at the end, it'll say, you know, after a long discussion, it'll say, Hilchas Amai, what's the halacha? And then it'll give an answer and say, the halacha is like this, is like so and so. Here it doesn't have any of that.
Technical.
There's a back and forth, a proof to Rav Nachman, no, it's not a proof. Another proof to Rav Nachman, no, it's not a proof. Another one, it's not a proof. And it was all, everything was blown away. Everything blew over. So we don't have a clear understanding of what the halacha is from this Gemara.
Not even a tickle.
Well, we do have a tickle. So let's see how the halacha is brought down by the Torah. The Tur was the son of the Rosh. The Rosh was one of the great Rishonim, early commentaries. And the Tur was one of the first people to, one of the first rabbis to codify Jewish law, to basically extract all of the halacha out of the Gemara and put it in a coded, codified way, in an orderly way. So it's called the Tur, which is abbreviated from Arba Turim, which is the four Turim, the four sort of sections, the four lines, because he divides everything up into four categories. You have Orach Chaim, which is the way of life, that's the daily halachas and laws of brachas and tefillah and Shabbos and yontov and all the daily halachas. And then you have Yoredeya, which is all of the halachas of what's called Issa Veheta, what is allowed and what is not allowed. Right, kashrus is in there, family purity is in there. Then you have Evan Ha'ezer, which is the laws of women laws, marriage and divorce and kiddushin and kesubas. All of those are included in there. And finally, you have cheshen mishpat, which is monetary law, business law. Right. So the Tur was the first person to divide them up in this. So we're now going to see the Tur in cheshen mishpat, in monetary law. So he brings down the halacha of this discussion we've been having like this.
But this was written later in discussion.
Much later. But this was the deciding of the halakha.
But this is somehow based with this discussion?
Absolutely, 100%. 100%. And you'll see how he speaks it out. Af al pi, even though she yachid einoi yachol ladun, that an individual is not allowed to be you can't have an individual court. You have to have a court of three. Right? An individual is not allowed to do din, is not allowed to do judgment. Oysa din la'atzmai. He is allowed to do din la'atzmai. Take the law into his own hands. Yeah? You're not allowed to act as a court, but you're allowed to act and take the law into your own hands. Perish. What does this mean? Im roya eshalay biyad acher. If you see your item in your friend's hand, Shegozle, that he stole it from you. Yochel akachtoi, you're allowed to take it away from him. Miyadoi. Ma shegozle, what he stole from you. Vema acher, oimed kenegdoi, limchoisboi. And if the other guy says, no, I'm not going to let you take it away from me. Yochel lahakoisei, you're allowed to hit him. Ad shiani chenu, lakach reses shalai, until he lets you take your item back. Okay? From here, do we see that we're proving either way, Rav Nachman, Rav Yehuda?
Rav Nachman.
Really? Are we talking about financial loss or not? Remember, if it's financial loss, everyone says you're allowed to do this. So we haven't seen anything yet about financial loss. So let's see. Loy mi boya. Not only are we talking about a case. Im hu dava she'im lo yekhenu ato miyodo she'yelo hefsid. If you're talking about a case where there is going to be financial loss if you don't take it from him now. Kagoin, for example. She'ach yaitzieno v'shuv lo yuchala haitzio miyodo. Yeah, that he's going to end up spending it, and then there's going to be, or he's going to use it, and then it's going to be gone. I'm not going to be able to get this thing back. The pshita, that's obvious, for sure. Sha'oisa din la'atzmai. Absolutely, you're allowed to take law into your own hands in that case. Upata, and you're exempt, al mashe makeu, im hu be'inyan, she'enu yochel ha'atzilas shaloi miyodai, im loi al yidei hako. Yeah, it's obvious that there you're exempt from the strike. You're hitting him. As long as, says the Torah, and it adds here, as long as you were not able to save your item with any way other than hitting him. Right? Remember, you have to take out your ox from underneath. You're not allowed to push him on top. If there's a way that you're able to do it without punching him, if you're able to have a discussion with him and end up convincing him, that absolutely. If you punched him...
This is a last resort.
It is a last resort. Yeah, if you did it not as a first resort, chayev, you're obligated. But this, you're exempt. Ella, rather, not only are we about talking about a case of financial loss, Ella afilu, even im hudava shaloi yafsit, im yamtin ad shiyamidenu bedin, even if it's a case where there's no financial loss while you're going to court and doing it, Ella sha'enu reitza litroyach la'amidenu bedin, rather, you just don't want to have the effort of going to the base din to deal with it. Afilu hachi, kevan she'boru loi she'adin imay. Still, nevertheless, since, now another rule, since it is very, very clear that the item is yours, provably clear that the item is yours, and you would be able to get the item back if you would take him to court, you're allowed to take your item back, even through hitting him, as long as you can't do it through any other means. Vimbaldin Misraimalov. But if this guy who got punched in the teeth when you took his item back comes along and says, hey, you're not allowed to punch me in the teeth. Veivila Bastin, and he brings him to Bastin and says, this guy just punched my teeth. Right? Umatsoi Sha'osa Kahalacha, and they found that they did Kahalacha, he did appropriately, he was allowed to do that because he proved that the item was his. And therefore, he was allowed to take the law into his own hands. Ein soisrin dinai. That's fine. What he did is fine. He's allowed to, he's off the hook. And the guy who said, hey, punch my teeth out, send him away. But, retroactively, if he was not able to prove that he did according to the letter of the law, right? He wasn't able to prove this item was his, and he went ahead and hit him for it. Yeah, you're allowed to take the item back. Yeah, the guy who was punched, had his teeth punched out, is allowed to take the thing back and say, thank you very much. You're not allowed to take something, take the law into your own hands, unless you can prove it. If you can't prove it, you're not allowed to do it. Okay? Good. Okay. Now, what do we see here? We see that the halacha is like Rav Nachman, that even in a case where there's no financial loss, that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. How do we know this? Where is the tour coming from that he paskins like this? Right? We had the machlokes in the Gemara. We didn't prove either way. So there are a few answers that are given in the Mefarshim. One is that there's a Gemara which says that halacha, right? There's a few rules called Klali Hora. Klali Hora mean the rules of how we paskin. Yeah, and there's a few Gemaras dotted around, a few rules which we know very clearly. For example, we know that the halacha is like, when it comes to Abaye and Rava, we know the halacha is like Rava, except in five cases where the halacha is like Abaye. Yeah, that we're told. We are told the rule of how we paskin. We know when it comes to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Right, we have rules, right? Rav and Shmuel. The halach is like one of them when it comes to mamoin, when it comes to financial, and the other one when it comes to Isser and Heter, what's allowed and what's forbidden, right? What's the halach that so we are told that when it comes to din, yeah, judgment, justice, yeah, the court, the halach is always like Rav Nachman. That is a rule which we're told. We're told in another place, I think in Sanhedrin, it says Kesubas, the halacha is like Rav Nachman when it comes to din. Why is that? Because we see that Rav Nachman was always hanging out at the courts. There's a few Gemaras which say that Rav Nachman was very shchiach, was very commonly found by the courts. He was there. He saw every case. He was always hanging out in the court. He knew always what was going on. So we're going to assume that when we have a question of what is the halacha when it comes to the court, Rav Nachman knows what happened. That's two. Yeah. Number three is that, remember, our Gemara brought some proofs. But what were the proofs? The proofs were all proving like Rav Nachman. We counted them, but we had a lot of proofs like Rav Nachman. And when it came to the counter arguments, they're a bit weak. Right, some of the counter arguments were quite weak, so from here we can see, and though I think there was one proof that later on that is brought for Rav Yehuda, but most of the proofs are brought for like Rav Nachman. So we have decided the Torah and others have decided that halacha is like Rav Nachman. Therefore, you're allowed to take the law into your own hands. Now,
if I have a few more minutes. Do I have a few more minutes?
Sure.
This can be optional. You can go if you want. Okay, there's a few... Huh?
Until 1:20.
Till 1:20. Till 1:20.
What's 1:20?
Great. Mincha.
That's how much time he has.
Oh.
Mincha, 1:20. In Chaniche, in Harnof.
That's okay.
Okay, so yeah, a few other important points. A few other important points. One is that when we say you're allowed to take the law into your own hands and you're allowed to take your item back, so this there are many Mefarshim which explain that this is only talking about an item that you're allowed to take back. However, to take back your item, right? Your item, this is my item, I'm allowed to take it back. But to take back a mashkoin being a collateral, right? That you're not allowed. For example, if this guy would owe you money, right, and I've been trying to get my money back from him for ages, and I've gone to through loads of different things, and this guy's just not giving my money back. And I turn up at his house, and I see that his car is unlocked, and the key happens to be under the visor. Yeah, you're not allowed to do that. That you're not allowed to do. Even though we say you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, you're allowed to take your item back. You're not allowed to take collateral back.
Money?
Money, right? Your money you would be allowed to take back. Okay. As long as it's not a loan. Right? If it would be a loan, you're not allowed to take that back. Why? We have rules of you're not allowed to force someone to give a loan back. You would be, yeah, this is interesting, you would be allowed to forcibly take money from a guarantor. Okay, an orev, a guarantor, that you're allowed to, and he's not paying up, right? If not his loan, there's no prohibition against forcing. If there's a prohibition in the Torah, you're not allowed to force someone to give back a loan, right? You're not allowed to hassle him and keep hassling him to give back a loan. You're not allowed to take the law into your own hands, therefore, right? But when it comes to a guarantor, that guy has signed, I will pay you back this money, right? He's a guarantor. For him, you're allowed to go in. Not only are you allowed to take money, you're allowed to take collateral. You would be allowed to take his car from his driveway to pay back the loan that he has guaranteed, right? But you're not allowed to take back from a bal chayiv, from a person that owes you money, you're not allowed to take collateral, right? If that's only, however, that's only when it comes to a loan, right? If he owes you money through a loan. If he owes you other money, like if he is your employer and he owes you my wages, you haven't paid me my wages, there you would be, the halacha is, you are allowed to take back collateral for your money, right? You would be allowed to steal his car in such a case.
You're not allowed to go onto his property, though, without permission.
You are. Absolutely. You're allowed to take the law into your own hands.
You're not allowed to go onto his property to take back a mashkon.
That's right. If it's a mashkon, if it's a mashkon, yeah. if it's for a loan, that rule is only for a loan. If it's talking about anything other than a loan, if the guy owes you wages, if the guy, I don't know.
I can't remember it being a loan. I can't remember that. Is that specified?
Yeah. There's a rule of lois sigois. You're not allowed to force him for a loan. Mashko in avit ta avitenu.
It means that I take this car, and after he paid me, I return this car to him.
I guess, yeah. Yeah.
Even
if he didn't pay you, then you've got a new car.
But we just say that it was only like if in his hand at that time, and you thought like it was going to be consumed or spent or something like that. That's when you can go back.
So we said the halacha is not like Rav Yehuda,
okay.
Meaning it doesn't make a difference whether there's a financial loss or not.
But this seems strange because in these situations where you could, even though it's not from a loan, it's mashkon or a guarantor, you could still have the time to go to Beis Yehuda and say, I have this problem. What can I do? Like, I mean, it would still seem like...
Yeah, so we don't obligate you to go to Beis Din. That's what we're saying. According to Rav Nachman, you don't have to go to Beis Din. You're allowed to take law into your own hands. Why? Because, kevan d'vidin of it, since you're going, you're doing something according to the letter of the law anyway, like Tarach, we didn't bother you.
So you have to go to Beis Din. You have to know fully the laws. You can't just...
You have to know that what you're doing or the item is 100% provable that it's yours, right? You have a document which show you have a wage, you know, you have a wage packet, and you can prove that he hasn't paid your wages yet. Yeah, that you're allowed to take the money. You're allowed to take the money, and you're even allowed to take a mashkoin, a collateral for.
But in retrospect,
for this.
You're probably always better going to Beis Din first if you have the time.
If you have, I guess, theoretically, if there's financial loss, then no.
If it's really like your balls financial loss, out of
the don't
bowl,
take the time.
Yeah,
go ahead and do it.
Have time, yeah.
If there's no financial loss, then it might be better to do it. So there's another discussion about whether you're allowed to employ non-Jews to help you with this matter.
In other words, send Guido down to.
Yeah. So this is a famous teshuvah of the Maharik, I think, where in Egypt the Jews were collecting taxes. It was their job to be collecting taxes, and there were some Jews which were not paying their taxes, right? And you know, they were obligated to pay the tax, and the Jews were collecting the tax on behalf of the non-Jewish government. And some Jews were not paying their taxes. So how do you get the money? So this was a famous question which came to the Maharik, and the Maharik answered that you're allowed to employ non-Jews. You're allowed to employ non-Jews to go ahead and get the money back. What was incurred? What happened when a non-Jew did it? When a non-Jew did it, right, taking it to a debt collector, they're going to be causing this guy even more of a financial loss because they're going to be charging him. Right, when a debt collector, they buy the debts from these companies, and they collect it, and they charge a lot of money often for collecting it. So that the ramifications isn't just that you're allowed to get a non-Jew involved. It means that you're allowed to get a non-Jew involved and cause this guy financial loss in the process of collecting this debt. That's a very famous teshuvah of the Maharik, a very important teshuvah. This basically allows the whole concept of debt collectors in Israel, you know, where they use debt collectors, you're allowed to do that, right? Because that's permissible. One final point, which is just an interesting concept. I don't know necessarily the ramifications, but just in theory, so we can understand how it works. But the Ramah brings an opinion. Yesh Oimrim. There are those that say, Deloy Mikri Avid Dinah L'Nafshei, that it is not called that you're doing, taking the law into your own hands, Ella, unless, Keshemazik L'Chaveri, when you're actually injuring or harming, damaging your friend, Kegoin Shemakeu, like you hit him. V'lachein, Lo Yuchol La'asais Ella Imkein Yuchol L'Vare Shehu Shaloi. And therefore, in that case, you're only allowed to do it if you can prove that this item is yours. Aval tefisa ba'alma, but grabbing, like just a simple case of grabbing your thing back, she'tafsei lemashkoin, that you took a mashkoin, took a collateral, yachol lasis b'chol inyan. You're allowed to do that in any situation. V'yored achakach imay ledin. And then go into din with him afterwards. So what this means is, according to this opinion, when we say you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, it doesn't mean, we're not talking about taking an item back. Taking the law into your own hands, what that's talking about is actually going ahead and hitting him, doing something physical, getting involved physically. But just to take your item back, that's not taking law into your own hands. That doesn't have the ramifications of taking law into your own hands.
Because you can always take it and bring it to Beis Din.
Because you can always take it and bring it to Beis Din. Right? When we're talking about taking law into your own hands, we're talking about actually hitting him. When you're actually hitting him, there you have to have the proof. That's the case where you have to have provable proof, real proof, that the item is yours. Yeah, you're not allowed to rely on the fact that, oh, maybe it looks like it might be mine. Yeah, so I'm allowed to go ahead and hit him and take it. Right? We don't say that. You're not allowed to do that. They're 100% you're culpable. Right? If you would turn up to Beis Din, yeah, and having hit this guy, and this guy says, hey, he hit me, and he wasn't even taking his item back, he thought it was his, and you turn up to Beis Din, and you say, well, I sort of thought it looked similar to my item, even if it was later proven that it was your item, you're out of here. Yeah, you're going to be culpable. You're held accountable. Because you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands unless you can prove 100% that you're doing it according to din. If it's just a case of grabbing something, there, you can do it on a suffix, on a doubt. Right? If you have a doubt that this item might be mine, you can take it, you can grab it. There's no ramifications. Now, then afterwards, then we'll take you to din and we'll work out whose was it. Right? But that's not called taking the law in your own hands. The ramifications, the strict ramifications, and the guidelines, the strict halakhic guidelines of taking the law in your own hands is only when we're talking about actual physical damage and not grabbing. That's just another interesting point that the Ramah added. There's a lot more halakhic discussion. I hope this appeases you, Akadi, and it makes sense. I think it makes a lot of sense that how this halacha works. There's a lot more as well, but just to give us a taste of some halachic reasoning.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm not sure next week what we're going to be doing. There's a couple of things that we could do. One of them is we could do this case of Habab Machteres, someone tunneling it in. And it's a bit of a spin-off on this because it's taking the law into your own hands, an exception to the rule of the case where you're allowed to actually self-defense to save your life. There's a very, very interesting discussion over there. Or there's another Gemara which goes on for about two pages, but it covers like loads and loads of different halachic elements, and so what would you guys like to do first?
It's first one, probably.
First one? Okay. Alright, so we'll do that next week. We will start with Habab Machteres.